All right, everybody, welcome to the Barca Blog Honest podcast. I am joined by our old friend Jake Fenner from Bavarian Football Works. Jake, how are we doing today?
I'm doing well, Josh. I'm doing really well. I'm ready to talk about this upcoming game that my fans remember very fondly. And yours, maybe not so much.
Yeah. Last time we talked was, of course, before the famous match, which we shall not name.
By the way, I want to jump in on something really quick. I went back and listened to that episode to see what we predicted, right? So this is funny, right? You predicted a 3-1 to Bayern. I predicted a 3-2 to Bayern, but I joked that it might get so insane that we see a 7-4. And it turned out 8-2. So I guess I'm not really that far off.
Yeah, I think we were both paying. We were giving the name more respect than it deserved in that in that preview, which obviously has worn off, as we'll talk about. I want to get into some Bayern stuff before we talk about the matchup. Mario Mandzukic retired this week. Kind of, what did he mean for you as a Bayern fan, and what did he mean for just kind of the club overall?
So I'll start off with me, right? Like, I became a Bayern fan, I would say, after Mandzukic was at his most important point for Bayern. So I really don't have much of a context for him. When I remember him playing, I remember him being this tall, like really lanky presence in the box, right? Like, able to score headers and able to score with his feet. A bit of a brash personality, which is pretty much how he played, not only for Bayern and Juve and wherever else he played at club level, but also with the Croatian national team. But I can't deny that he has a legendary status in Bayern's lore. And anytime a Bayern legend retires, it's something that we feel like deeply at an impact, right? Like, even when Ivica Olic retired, like, people were really sad about that, right? So with Manzu retiring, I'm kind of sad. I loved his post where he said to be sure to pay attention like he was doing a letter back to himself, and he said at the very end, PS, be sure to pay attention when you're playing France in the World Cup final, marking back to the goal that he got basically by cheating Hugo Lloris off of a keeper throw. So I think he had a fantastic career. I think he had a lot of accolades to show for it, and I wish him the best for the future.
Yeah, he was a player that I was surprised to see retire, because, like, I know he's old, but he seems like a guy who could age into his... He could age into his age really well, I guess, as an attacking player. But I guess, you know, you just want to do other things. I didn't write this one down in the rundown I sent to you, because I kind of just want your kind of off the...
Sure. Something that I can't prepare for.
So Robert Lewandowski, of course, kind of, he wants a new challenge, apparently, right?
Yes.
That's probably not going to be till after this year. Just like, in your head, when you think of Robert's next challenge, what do you envision?
Let me go ahead and say first, just very quickly, what I think the club are going to do. Bayern Munich are never a club that lets anything go by without a plan. And it's very rare that they do ahead of time, right? So when they fired Niko Kovac, they hired Hansi Flick. And I don't know whether that is something they fully intended, or whether they listened to the players and said, you know what, this is really a guy we want to bring in as our next manager. It ended up working out very well for them, seeing as we won the sextuple. And now he's coaching Die Mannschaft. But Bayern are rarely the team that will go ahead and make brash off-the-cuff decisions. So I think the only way that Lewandowski leaves next summer is if they sign a replacement that they think will do well. And in my mind, at least in the Bundesliga, there are only two players that would do that. One is André Silva, and he just moved to RB Leipzig. And the other is some tall Norwegian dude that plays for Borussia Dortmund that half the world wants for some reason. I don't know if they will get either of them. I think they will probably angle more towards getting Erling Haaland. Whether or not they will actually get him is something yet to be seen. But I think that most Bayern fans will be very sad if or when Lewandowski leaves. But I don't, right? Like, I'm a Patriots fan based on birth, right? When Tom Brady left, I was sad that it happened, but I understood like the need for a new challenge for an athlete at the end of their career, right? And Tom won 7 Super Bowl titles in New England. So I'm not, or 6 Super Bowl titles in New England. And I'm not necessarily like angry or jealous about it. And I think a lot of Bayern fans will feel the same way if Lewandowski decides to leave, right? He's getting towards the end of his career. He wants to seek something better out now that there's no major records to chase, I guess, in the Bundesliga anymore. He wants to go chase records somewhere else, and I can't fault him for that.
But name a club if you had to.
Philadelphia Union. I'm kidding.
It's weird, right? Because I don't know what the club is. Like, I don't see him at Real Madrid, right?
I'll throw a wild one out. Inter Milan. I think once they sell Lautaro Martinez at some point next summer, they'll have the profits to be able to switch him over. And I think that that might be a perfect landing place for him, right? Serie A, right? There are not a lot of Bayern rivals there, so Bayern would be more likely to sell to a team from Serie A, right? You don't have like your cities or your Chelsea's or anything like that. And I know a lot of them are linked with him. And I think that makes sense, right? Like Chelsea were linked with him over the summer. So were Real. But here's my honest point to that. If Real are really serious about going and getting Kylian Mbappe, they're going to go and get Kylian Mbappe. There's nobody that's going to stop them in that regard. Chelsea don't need another striker. They just got Romelu Lukaku. Manchester United didn't need a striker at all this summer, and they still went out and signed one anyway. So his options are really limited. And I don't think that a majority of the big, big name clubs will really be in for him. I saw a rumor that said Real Madrid are in on him if they can't go and get Haaland, but to think that they won't get Haaland and then will also just decide to give up on Mbappe doesn't sound like something that's really accurate in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, Mbappe's going there, whether it's on a free next summer or whether it's for $200 million this January.
Hell or high water, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. That man is going to be playing in Madrid wearing all white.
And he's going to look really good in it, too.
He's going to look fantastic in that
game. So let's talk a little bit about Bayern. How is Kingsley Coman's health?
There are a lot of troubles with Bayern players' health. We thought that Davies was going to be out for a while after a knock he picked up for Canada against the U.S. men's national team. Apparently that's just small. Luca Hernandez, Upamecano, Thomas Müller, right? Like there are a lot of things that Bayern has to deal with in terms of the injury gods. We've had a very love-hate relationship with the injury gods over the last couple of seasons. With Coman, his injury hurts, but it doesn't hurt the club nearly as bad as I would say it would a year ago, right? Because what we've seen over the last 4 to 5 weeks is a resurgent and redeveloped Jamal Musiala from somebody who basically was a sub at center attacking midfield for Bayern when they wanted a switch of pace, when they wanted Tomas to get a rest. Right now, you could argue he's the best winger on Bayern Munich right now. You could make a very strong argument that Jamal Musiala is a better winger right now than Leroy Sané, Kingsley Coman, or Serge Gnabry. I think that Coman being hurt hurts, but I don't think it's detrimental to the success of the club.
Okay, that's fair. So how happy are you with, and I hope I'm okay, you say his name, Julian Nagelsmann. Is it Julian?
Julian Nagelsmann.
Julian Nagelsmann. Okay. So yep. How happy are you with him so far?
I actually just wrapped up an episode of our weekend warm-up where we were talking about Hansi Flick and how we thought his results went for the German national team in his first two games.
They beat Poland 4-0, right?
No, they didn't play Poland. They played Armenia and Liechtenstein. Those were their two World Cup qualifying games. They played Iceland yesterday. They beat Iceland. I'm a very cautious fan. I'm a very cautious observer. I am a fan of the German national team. I love the German national team. I'm always somebody that doesn't love throwing eggs in a basket. And I think that the team will need time in order to fully adjust under Hansi Flick. And I think the same can be said for Julian Nagelsmann. He had a very rough preseason, and then he turned that around to a draw with Borussia Mönchengladbach and then two wins against Köln and then Hertha Berlin. So it's good. It's not terrible. It's fantastic so far, I would say, for a coach, two wins and a draw at a big club like Bayern in your first season coaching them. It's got to be great, right? I'm not disappointed in Nagelsmann right now, but I'm very cautiously optimistic is what I would say.
Okay, that's fair. What's been your biggest surprise so far this year?
That nothing has really changed. And I want to give context to that, right? Bayern Munich lost two major stalwarts on their back line this summer. They lost David Alaba to go ahead and replace Sergio Ramos at Real Madrid. And they lost Jerome Boateng. Even though Boateng was not getting a lot of playing time, he was still getting good enough playing time. They let him go on a free, and it basically took until the final day of the transfer window for him to sign with Olympique Lyon. And I'm happy for both of them now that they have places that they can play their game and not be in fear that they're not going to get starting time or anything like that. But losing to club icons like that, right? Boateng has been arguably the most visible defender at Bayern Munich ever since he joined from Manchester City. And David Alaba was an academy graduate. He didn't spend his entire time at the academy of Bayern Munich, but he was an academy graduate. He's basically known his entire professional club career. Not basically, he has. He knew his entire club career from that point as only Bayern Munich before he left. You don't lose two club icons like that in the same transfer window and not have there be a major shift in how you operate on the back line, let alone anywhere else on the pitch. And what we've seen so far, Bayern have just been better than they were defensively last year. They let in a criminal amount of goals last season. For Bayern standards, they let in a terribly bad amount of goals. But this time around, and it could be less of a concern of people not getting playing time, or it can be an entirely new system under Nagelsmann, whatever it is, it remains to be seen because you can't really judge that off of three games. But they've held well. They've held really well defensively. And I'm impressed by that. I'm impressed that a back line that had so much depth last season that people were leaving now doesn't have that depth. It's basically now Dayo Upamecano, Niklas Süle, Tanguy Nianzou Kouassi, who is a youth academy player we've got 2 years ago from Paris Saint-Germain, and then any other people we have in the academy, because we loaned out Chris Richards to Hoffenheim again. And so the team is still really strong, right? And keeping that in mind on the back line, right? Benjamin Pavard is injured. Our right back starting the last three games is an academy kid named Josef Stancic, and he's been fantastic for the team so far. Alfonso Davies basically alternated time with Luca Hernandez on left back, and Hernandez kind of switched in a couple of times at center back, right? The team has performed really well defensively, and I'm almost shocked by it. And I'm impressed by that, I would say, most of all. The attacking was always there. The midfield dominance was always there. The only shaky part of Bayern last year was their back line. And now, with all those other important pieces gone, it seems to have cleared the air enough, right? You don't hear rumors about Nick Süle leaving anymore, which is huge. So I'm glad that it's happened. And it seems like they've gotten better. It really does seem like they've gotten better.
Do you see them trying to bolster the back line in the January transfer window, just ahead of the later stages of the Champions League?
Bayern have really never been buyers in the January transfer window, and I don't think they'll start this transfer window. If they do, it'll be like a reserve. It will be like a backup piece. But so far, I haven't heard anything, and nothing really comes to mind as in terms of a player that they could go out to get.
Gotcha. So is the midfield still the best strong point of Bayern, would you say?
I would say so. Yeah. Even when Muller isn't healthy, we just went out and got Marcel Sabitzer, who's always wanted to play for Bayern. I will add, right? Because there's always the accusations that Bayern goes ahead and takes everything out of the Bundesliga. I'll give a pause for a second for everybody that listens to this and automatically reflexively said they do. But you just have to keep in mind the kinds of players that they bought in, right? I wouldn't say that it was poaching because Bayern didn't really like go out and get every single best player off of Leipzig. They don't even go out and get every single best player off of Dortmund. Even years ago when they were rumored to go and get Marco Reus and they had the money to do so, they didn't do it. This time around, what did they get? They got a really good defender, right? And it's not Bayern that completely depleted their back line. Let's keep in mind that Ibrahima Konate went off to Liverpool, right? Losing both of them in one transfer window sucks for any team. But Upamecano wanted to come to Bayern. He was young. He was French. So he fit in with a lot of other players on the team. So that one worked, right? You have Julian Nagelsmann, who came in. He's Bavarian by birth. His favorite club growing up was Bayern Munich.
You don't have to defend yourself.
It's a joy for him. And then Sabitzer is Austrian. He's born and raised a Bayern Munich fan as well. So even with Thomas injured, right, it's still Joshua Kimmich and Leon Goretzka at the back line in that double pivot. It still works wonders. It's still fantastic. And I love seeing it work every single weekend.
Yeah, it's great for you guys. All right, let's talk about the match. So last time I asked you the same question, and the only answer was Lionel Messi. So he has left, if you hadn't heard, and we have this guy named Memphis Depay that we're putting all our eggs in his basket. So What scares you about Barcelona?
Nothing. I want to be really fair, right? I am not somebody who confidently brags about teams because I grew up in a part of the country where when you do that and it comes back to bite you in the ass, then you get railed for it and you're sorely disappointed. And so I really want to be honest. There really isn't much about this team that concerns me. I wouldn't even say it's Depay. I would say it's Ansu Fati, if anything, because he's young and Bayern hasn't really played him a lot, right? Memphis Depay, we beat him in the semifinals of the Champions League before we went off and won it. It's somebody that we're used to, right? Jokingly, I was about to say I was most afraid of Antoine Griezmann, but I'm after seeing the turnover, and it's not even Messi, right? It's the fact that you also then went ahead and sold Griezmann. Having that much turnover up front concerns any team, especially a team that needs to cut wages. So I don't know what this attack will look like. I know Depay is quick on the counter, but Bayern have improved a lot in terms of their response to counters from this year to last year. So I'm not going to say it's the midfield. If there's anybody in the midfield, it's Frenkie de Jong, but you still have Sergio Busquets. And I'm not sure if you bought out Arturo Vidal's contract yet.
Yes.
You did? Okay. I think so. Even then, I still wouldn't be that terrified. And then the back line, as long as Samuel Umtiti is still within the team, I'm not necessarily that concerned with how the team sets up. I think Marc-Andre ter Stegen might pose a number of problems in net, but then again, a lot of the players on this Bayern team play with him in the national team.
Yeah, Vidal's been on Inter for a couple of years, but like I don't know if they still are paying him anything or not from before. Okay. Yeah, so yeah, that's kind of what I expected. Let's talk predictions. So I'm not going to go ahead and say 8-2 because, you know, that's a little crazy.
I'm not even going to say 8-2.
So I do think that there isn't going to be a level of like, I don't see Bayern feeling the need to score 8 goals, I guess. Mm-hmm. I would say. I think they would take their foot off the gas a little bit, if anything. But yeah, I don't see any reason why Bayern don't win this 3 or 4-0 or 1, honestly.
Yeah. I was going to say the same thing, and I was going to support it with facts, right? For all you F1 fans out there, gentlemen, a quick flashback to the past. Bayern Munich's last loss in the opening in the first game of the group stage. I want you to guess what year it is, and I will give you a hint in terms of the team that they played. Are you ready? The team they played was Deportivo La Coruña.
2008.
No, the last time Bayern lost in a group stage opening game was the 2002-03 season.
Okay.
And then I will also say this. Since then, they have not failed to win. Note that, right? It's not they haven't lost. It's they have not failed to win. There was one season, the 2007-08 season, that Bayern didn't play in the Champions League. But since that Deportivo game, right? Here are Bayern's opening weekend results. In the 03-04 season, a 2-1 win over Celtic. The next season, 1-0 over Maccabi Tel Aviv. Next season, 1-0 over Club Brugge. Next season, 4-0 over Spartak Moscow. Next season, they played in the competition was the 08-09 season. They beat Steaua Bucharest 1-0. Season after that, they beat Maccabi Haifa 3-0. After that, Roma 2-0. After that, Villarreal 2-0. After that, Valencia 2-1. After that, CSKA Moscow 3-0. After that, Man City 1-0. After that, Olympiacos 3-0. After that, Rostov 5-0. After that, Anderlecht 3-0. After that, Benfica 2-0. After that, Red Star Belgrade 3-0. After that, Atletico Madrid 4-0. Over 17 opening games since their last loss, they have an opening day aggregate of 42-2.
So, to be fair, there's only two clubs out of that entire list that are actually like decent, and that was City and Atleti. And I was gonna go ahead and say Barca are amongst those teams, but they're probably more amongst the Club Brugge right now.
Rankings. I would say Valencia. I would say the 2012-13 Valencia team was a pretty quality team, but even to that point, I agree. Those are pretty cupcakey games, and for the most part,
but a lot of teams get caught out in those cupcakey games.
Exactly, and a lot of those games were away, right? Like an away day at Red Star or Rostov or Olympiacos is not really something that you should play around with. Nope. Right? And regardless, Bayern won again, aggregate 42-2 on their opening day. So I'll comfortably say, right, at minimum 3-0 for Bayern, because we're still coming off of a lot of injuries, still coming off of a lot of club transition. Robert Lewandowski is still there. Leroy Sané has been on his best form in a Bayern uniform. Jamal Musiala, same thing. Kimmich and Goretzka are still there. They still have Manuel Neuer between the sticks. I really don't think I'm being braggadocious in saying I think Bayern can comfortably win this game 3 or 4-0.
All right, last question. So three months from now, actually literally 3 months from yesterday, Barcelona will play Bayern in match day 6 of the group stage. We're going to have you on it yet again to probably brag about your team. Sure. And how, I guess, paint me a picture of what that group will look like or how Bayern's season will look in 3 months.
Remind me of the other two teams in the group. I just forget.
Benfica, and I think we missed out on the fourth B team. It's Dynamo Kiev. So there's not much challenge there.
I think Dynamo Kiev are going to finish second over Barcelona.
Oh, you're so, come on.
I'm sorry. I'll invite you
on the podcast. You come on here.
I'll be honest. I think Benfica actually stands a good chance of coming in second, because they do weird shit in the group stage where just somehow they come out and finish second and qualify for the next round. Right. And I'll say this, right, as somebody who very loosely follows Barcelona and roots for Barcelona in Spain, because I hate Real Madrid with every ounce of my being, right? As long as Ronald Koeman is in charge, with everything I've heard about him over the last couple of weeks from players like Miralem Pjanic, I don't know what to expect from this Barcelona team, but I don't know if it's anything good. And that's me being really honest and hoping that this club does well, because I like this team.
Yeah,
I just don't know what to expect with him.
So let me just paint a picture for Barca fans real quick before we sign off. So at the end of this month, Barcelona start off a 5-game stretch that could be pretty detrimental. So they play Benfica in match day 2, September 29th. Right after that, 4 days later, they have Atletico Madrid. Then they have Valencia after a break. Then they come back with Dynamo Kiev, and then they have the Clásico all within a week.
Jesus.
So there's some games with a little bit of pressure there. And if Barcelona do the wrong thing and look ahead to the Atleti match and blow it against Benfica, you're looking at a scenario where your first two Champions League matches are against Bayern, which everyone in the world is assuming is a loss. And then Benfica, which if you don't take seriously, like you said, Benfica's not a horrible team. It could be a very interesting, it's going to be very interesting next 60 days for Ronald Koeman in Barcelona, and no one knows what to expect. So Jake, I'm going to put all your links in the podcast show notes and all that stuff. You do great work at Bavarian Football Works. Y'all's site is one of the best run at SB Nation. So thank you for joining us as always.
Thank you for having me.